Our gospel lesson this morning comes once again from the gospel according to John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31. Today we pick up where we left off last week. We read through verse 18 last week as we read the Easter story. And now we'll pick up on that Easter story in verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, on Sunday, June 4th, we will celebrate the festival of Pentecost. Does that sound familiar to you? Pentecost? Okay, good. Pentecost is this Greek word that means 50th. Pentecost is celebrated on the 50th day after Easter. And in the Jewish tradition, it's celebrated 50 days after Passover. But anyway, on June 4th, we will celebrate Passover. And the story of that first Christian Pentecost comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter, and it begins with these words, "When the day of Pentecost had come." Sound familiar? Okay, well, let me continue. "They were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit." This episode is often called the birthday of the church, and it's called that because it's in the tradition, it has been proclaimed and it has been celebrated that on that day, the Spirit of God was poured out onto the community and inspired them and empowered them for their work of the gospel. Okay, most of us know, at least vaguely know that story from the book of Acts. But there is another Pentecost-like story with which most of us are completely unfamiliar. It's often called the Johannine Pentecost. And I just read that story a moment ago, so hear it again. "Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As a Father has sent me, so I send you.' When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Huh. Friends, it was the first Easter day. And as far as the disciples were concerned, the world was coming apart at its seams. You see, it had just been several days, maybe about 3 days, since they had gathered in the upper room with Jesus. They gathered to celebrate Passover. Well, as they gathered at night, they didn't know that before the evening was done, Jesus would have been arrested. He would be crucified the next morning. He would be buried the next night on Good Friday. And here they were on Sunday, the first day of the week. Things did not look good. They knew Jesus had been executed for treason by the Romans. And that usually meant that the Romans would then start gathering everybody up. Any co-conspirators would be gathered up and they would be dispatched. So what do? You hide. So they went back to the upper room where they had spent Thursday night, and they just huddled behind locked doors because they were scared, and rightfully so. Well, John says it was in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this sadness, in the midst of this confusion and hopelessness, that it happened. It happened. Resurrection happened. John put it this way. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Huh. As I reread these words again this past week, they just seemed timely. Peace be with you. They're always timely, every generation. Because as I'm reading these words, in the background of my mind, I'm hearing the stories on today's news. Okay. A police officer is shot in Paris. Rising tensions in North Korea. Russian bombers off the coast of Alaska. A young boy was shot outside his home. And on and on and on. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Spirit of God." As I'm reading the gospel text and I'm consuming all of this news that is bombarding me, I can see why they did it. I can understand why the disciples went up to the upper room, just hung out, locked themselves in, away from the chaos of their world. I've read the passage over and over, and I've heard people expound upon it, and they say, "Oh, well, Jesus offers a peace to us, a peace that passes all understanding." Well, that's true. But unfortunately, this message doesn't seem to ring honestly in many of our lives. We like the idea. We know the world is a mess. We know we need peace. But somehow, that peace is elusive. But we also manage somehow to keep that chaos at bay. We find a way to suppress it or self-medicate it to the point that we can just make it. But it waits for us, doesn't it? Real life waits for us. It lurks in the shadows, and we know it. Do you remember about, it's probably been 2 years, maybe more, when we read and we reflected on Father Richard Rohr's book, Learning to Breathe Underwater? Marvelous book, little book. You can read it in the afternoon. In that book, Father Richard Rohr employs a powerful metaphor for life. And I want to read the poem that inspired it. We read it many times several years ago, and I want you to hear it again. When your life is in chaos, hear these words. "I built my house by the sea, not on the sands, mind you, not on the shifting sand. I built it of rock, a strong house, by a strong sea. And we got well acquainted, the sea and I, good neighbors. Not that we spoke much, we met in silences, respectful, keeping our distance, but looking our thoughts across the fence of sand. Always the fence of sand, our barrier. Always the sand between. But then one day, and I still don't know how it happened, the sea came. Without warning, without welcome even. Not sudden and swift, but a shifting across the sand like wine. Less like the flow of water than the flow of blood. Slow, but coming. Slow, but flowing like an open wound. And I thought of flight, and I thought of drowning, and I thought of death. And while I thought, the sea crept higher till it reached my door. And I knew then, there was neither flight, nor death, nor drowning. That when the sea comes calling, you stop being neighbors. Well acquainted, friendly at a distant neighbors. And you give your house for a coral castle. And you learn to breathe underwater." That's it. That is life. Friends, the sea will come. One day it will come. I used to build sandcastles. I still do. And when I build it there on the shore, I always build a big moat because I'm keeping that sea at bay. I build a wall. and then I leave. And when I come back the next day, what has happened to my castle? It is gone. The sea has come. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As a Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Friends, there's an incredible amount of sadness and pain and turmoil in our lives and in our world. We all bear the wounds of our life. And I'm reminded of that every single day. I'm reminded of it when I go and sit in an ICU with someone, when I visit a family or a member of a family at hospice house. I'm reminded when I hear stories about the vast array of addictions that are slowly killing us, when marriages are disintegrating. And I was reminded of it last Thursday in a real and profound way. Many of you may know this member of ours. Last Wednesday, I received a call, and the person said, "Can you come talk to me? I want to talk about my funeral service. I've entered hospice care." And so I said, "Sure, this was Wednesday. I'll come Thursday. I'll come Thursday after Bible study." So as I planned to go, Thursday morning came, and right before I entered Bible study, I had a call, and it was the daughter of this person. And they said, "Mom passed away just an hour ago." Young woman, around 60 years of age. And I just was reminded of how hard life can be. We try to deny it. We try with the help of advertising agencies and cosmetic companies to pretend that life is easy and always wonderful and young. And sometimes we delude ourselves. We say, if I can only get to this point in my life, if I only can accumulate X amount of money, if I only could get over this pain in my leg, if I could get to the other side of right now, I would be whole, I would be happy, everything would be great, I would be at peace. Friends, it's the lie we tell ourselves. Peace. True peace doesn't begin with the first person pronoun, I. No, peace comes from a deeper source. It comes from beyond ourselves. Jesus stepped into the chaos of that first Easter Sunday and said to his followers, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands, his battered and broken hands. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As a Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When we hear those words, our hearts should be drawn back immediately to the beginning of our faith story. Back to the book of Genesis, to the second chapter and the seventh verse. "Then the Lord God formed the human from the dust of the ground and breathed into its nostrils the breath of life. And the human became a living being." 3,000 years ago, that story was written. And our spiritual ancestors put into words an answer to the perennial question, what makes us tick? And that answer has been affirmed and reaffirmed across the centuries. What makes us tick, what makes us who we are, is the breath of God that inspires our bodies, inspirits us. God's breath and life flows into us and then through us into this world. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As a Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Friends, we are at the dawn of the Easter season, a season during which we wrestle with what the presence of the living Christ means for us. What does it mean to be an individual or a community inspired by the breath of God? What does that look like? Father Thomas Keating said that we are the fifth gospel. We are the living manifestation of Jesus. Christ breathes into us, we breathe Christ into the world. Paul said, "It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me." During Lent, we spent 40 days looking inward. Now we're going to spend these next 50 days looking outwardly. As a follower of Christ, one who is sustained by his breath, by his spirit, how can I extend his living presence into this world? How can I be a peacemaker? Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit." And he breathed on them. Friends, a Greek word used here and translated as peace has a meaning that transcends the definition we typically associate with the concept of peace. It goes beyond the absence of strife. It carries with it the idea of order as opposed to disorder. An order that produces harmony and thus produces wholeness. That's what we seek. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. A new order, a new harmony, a new wholeness. Friends, it's time for peace. If you remember back at the beginning of Lent, we read about Jesus calling the disciples. He said, "Follow me." Here we are. It's Easter. It's Easter. It's an Easter challenge. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Thanks be to God. Happy Easter.